Okay. We just heard two tracks from Sarah Harmer. The first track that we just heard at the top of the set was Shoemaker off of the album Are You Gone? And then we also followed up with What I Was to You, also off of the album Are You Gone? So as I mentioned earlier in the show, we've been talking about a lot of things. There are going to be some clips that I'm going to be sharing about gender-based violence just after this. And I just want to talk about Sarah Harmer for a quick moment. Sarah is a Canadian singer, songwriter, and environmental activist from Burlington, Ontario. She grew up the youngest of six children surrounded by music, and her sister, Mary, even played bass in her band. So there's a fun fact about Sarah Harmer, one of the reasons why I chose her for a spotlight on the show today, not just because I think her music is pretty incredible and not also because she's a Canadian singer-songwriter, but years ago, I used to be a daycare teacher. I think I might have mentioned last show that I've lived a lot of lives and I've done many things. So years ago, I used to be a daycare teacher in a cooperative daycare space. And so it was five families that had come together to basically renovate a space. And this was based out of Toronto. So that is in an area, it was in an area where some of the houses used to have like a store on their main floor. And if you've ever been in, like walked around Strathcona in the Lower Mainland, you will see some houses that are pretty like, it's kind of like reflective of this. So what they did was they converted what would have been a, could have been a store, could have been a convenience store, and they turned it into a childcare space. And I was the daycare teacher, and then I would work with a parent each day that I worked there. So I happened to be the daycare teacher where Mary, as I mentioned, who used to play bass in Sarah's band, Mary's daughter went to this daycare, her daughter Georgia. And while I was prepping for this show, I learned that Georgia Harmer is also a musician now. So it's super wild to do the research and see Georgia Harmer as a grown-ass person and the fact that she is also musically inclined and in the space. Her debut album, Stay in Touch, came out in 2022, and it's absolutely worth checking out. Sarah's music has always carried this blend of emotional honesty and environmental consciousness, and I'm so glad that I have been able to share some of her work with you today. We will have a couple more songs later in the show. So yeah, that I was like, you know, you love preparing for shows and realizing that there is a connection of sorts. So I am going to go back to sharing some clips that are around gender-based violence. As I mentioned last week, when we relaunched Intravenous, is that November 25th to December 10th marks the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. So during this time, I continue to encourage you to share, reflect, and participate in whatever ways that you can. If you are posting online, you can always use the hashtag 16 days to help amplify the conversation. So the first clip that I am going to share is a clip from Ontario MPP Kristen Wong-Tam, who serves as the NDP critic for the Attorney General and 2S LGBTQ plus issues.
Mm-hmm. women and girls in Ontario is not inevitable. It's about choices, the choices that we make in this province, whether or not this government has declared intimate partner violence and gender-based violence for the epidemic that it is. Has the government been investing in multi-year stable funding for shelters, transitional homes, and housing when women and girls and families are fleeing violence? Do they have the supports they need in the culturally appropriate, linguistically appropriate manner so no one is ever turned away from service? Are we seeing this government invest in public education to develop bystander intervention programs, broad comprehensive consent education? Have we seen this government take up the charge to fix the justice system, to ensure that bail, compliance, supervision, and reform actually takes place in a manner that will keep women and girls safe? Has the government made the investments in the court system so we no longer see charges that are dropped or stayed due to unconstitutional delays? Are women and girls survivors gaining access to the justice system when they need it, so justice is no longer denied? We can do this and so much more in the province of Ontario. We need to stop violence before it even starts. We need to make those investments, and we need to believe and know that women and girls have the right to a safe existence. This only happens when we work together, when the government is forced to listen. And on November the 25th, on this day, the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women and Girls, this is something you and I have got to continue working towards. I make that commitment. I want to do this work with you. Join me, and let's make sure that this happens.
I appreciate that comment from, again, Ontario MPP Kristen Wong-Tam. Again, she serves as the NDP critic for the Attorney General and the 2SLGBTQI+ issues. The next clip that I want to share is, it actually pertains to Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit people who face disproportionately high rates of violence in Canada. Any conversation about gender-based violence needs to include Indigenous voices, leadership, and solutions. So I'm going to share this short message that I found from the Métis Nation of Ontario.
In Canada, December 6 is the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. It's a day when we come together collectively as a community to reflect on the horrific gender-based violence, the murder of 14 young women that transpired at L'École Polytechnique de Montréal in 1989. More than 30 years later, acts of violence against women, including Indigenous women and girls, and the Two-Spirit and LGBTQ+ community remain all too common. COVID-19 has only exacerbated these issues, bringing an increase in all types of violence against women in a phenomena that's referred to as the shadow pandemic. While this shadow pandemic has cast light on the dire need for societal change, for remembrance and action, our collective efforts must go beyond thoughts and prayers. Work must be centered on community and on easier access to life-saving supports and services. They must be prioritized. I am proud to say, in addition to the great work being done by the Métis Nation of Ontario's Women's Council, the MNO offers a suite of programs to our citizens, including victim support services, Métis family well-being, child welfare, and a 24-hour crisis line. Today, as we commemorate this tragic anniversary, we implore everyone to take this time to honor those who have suffered or died as a result of gender-based violence. And importantly, we encourage a dialogue within our communities about concrete actions that we can take to eliminate all forms of violence against women, girls, and Two-Spirit and LGBTQ+ people. We must do more.
I want to thank the Métis Nation of Ontario for that special message. As we approach December 6th, here are some meaningful ways that you can honor the victims and take action. You can wear a white ribbon, and that is something that you can make from home. I know that there are ways to also purchase one online, but it is something that you can do on your own as well. You can observe a moment of silence at 11 a.m. on December 6th, or you can attend a vigil in your community. There is a memorial and vigil happening at SFU Burnaby on Friday, December 5th, 2025, with events from 12:15 to 1:30 p.m. I will be in attendance, and I encourage you to attend if you are able and up here at SFU Burnaby campus, or I encourage you to try to see if there's something within your community that you can attend. And again, if not, just having a time to reflect on your own, honoring silence at 11 a.m. is also a way to support as well. Now, the next thing that I'm going to be doing is shifting to discuss a film that I just recently watched, and I encourage people to watch this film. It is free. I was able to watch it online through the National Film Board of Canada. And this documentary is entitled In the Room. The film brings together resistance stories from five Afghan women, ranging from activists, students, and artists. And in fact, the five women specifically that were in this documentary film was Nellofar, who is a filmmaker. There was Vida, who was a participant in the Miss Earth pageant. And one of the things that that stood out about her is that she made a statement saying that she wants to change the image of Afghan women, and that she prays that one day women around the world, not just Afghan women, have equal rights. She had experienced death threats for participating in the pageant and had to actually be escorted in a separate van from the other 70 pageant participants during that pageant. And to this day, she is not allowed to go back to Afghanistan. If she ever returns, they will put her in handcuffs and head her straight to jail because of her participation in the pageant and other things. Another woman that was also featured in this documentary was Sahar. Sahar is an Afghan actress who fled Afghanistan after two actresses from her TV show were killed, and she also had faced death threats herself. There was also Mazda, who is a singer, talk show host, and women's rights activist. Her segment, a portion of her segment, was actually filmed in Vancouver, and that they were like literally in a spot, and they were talking about the noise of a SkyTrain. And how that, you know, there are people who live near SkyTrain stations and find it to be super noisy. I have lived near SkyTrain stations. I've lived near during construction and all the things. But then they were mentioning the fact that, like, this is so much better than hearing bombs or glass breaking and all the things. So I just thought that that was really interesting that they were in Vancouver. She also, in the film, there was a segment where it showed her at a protest outside of the Vancouver Art Gallery. And so that was, you know, so close to home. And then lastly, the last woman that was featured in the film was Shogofa. She is a journalist. And one of the things that she said in the end, because she was like one of the last women to be featured, is that she said that she wants one day that Afghanistan will see peace, and that she will be able to take her daughter there and say that this is your Afghanistan. So the filmmaker, the director-filmmaker, her name is Brishke. She is a woman who came to Canada when she was about 12 to 13 years old. She didn't really want to be connected a lot to her Afghan identity because she said that that identity was always connected to war. So by her creating this documentary, it really got to see just the plight of women. And I mean, in there, for those who have like followed Afghanistan and know that there was like the U.S. occupation for about 20 years due to the Taliban, and the fact that once the Taliban returned, I think it was in 2021, that the U.S. didn't have much presence there. And so they kind of talk about that. So to me, it was like a really, not only was it like beautifully put together, so the documentary itself is like beautifully done, it is just aesthetically pleasing, it is it's just like, I encourage everybody to watch it, but also just the stories of the women were just incredible and so empowering, and also like quite sad at the same time too. So I encourage those who have the opportunity to watch the film, please do. The beauty of films on the National Film Board of Canada is that they are free. So I will include the link in the show notes as well. Because watching In the Room while preparing the show, like, it really allowed me to think about how interconnected our struggles are globally. Whether it is in Afghanistan or Canada, women are resisting gender-based violence and resisting systems that tell them that their lives are worth less. Something that stood out to me was the way that the women in the film talked about the power and simply just gathering together and sharing stories and teaching each other, being in community, even under surveillance, even under threat. It's a reminder that feminist resistance doesn't always look like a protest in the streets. Sometimes it's small acts like staying connected, supporting one another, and refusing to be silent. So again, I will include the link to this film, because it is well worth the watch. Now I am going to go back to sharing some songs from Sarah Harmer, because she is our artist spotlight for the day. And I will be back to, you know, sign off. But here is a track called New Loneliness.
There is just one apple on the tree. It isn't like I hoped it'd be. Yesterday, when there was still you, I looked and I swear that I saw two. Maybe a wandering white-tailed deer came in the night to make it even more clear, and left me just one, a Spartan no less, to remind me of my new loneliness. There is just one oar leaning against the wall. What of our plans for paddles in the fall? With the reeds grown high in a winding maze, we were to follow all waterways. Maybe a hovering dragonfly will rest on a cattail and wonder why there is no clamoring at the shore of two in a canoe with each an oar. Mm-hmm. one pillow on the bed, where solitary someone lays her head. A stack of books meant to be read aloud, closed and dusty, awaiting a crowd. Maybe a spider in a high corner keeps his tiny eye on the still morning and waits for the other to slip under the cover and relight the dark candle lit between lovers. If I only had one match left, would I try to light a fire under you? If I could only say one thing, would it be what I've been wanting to? Every time I close the gate, I wonder if this is enough. If I only had one match left, I would try. Covers of your bed, I would tell you that I knew what it was like, and of the dreams that I've been living in instead, and those times I close my eyes and wonder what we could do with this love.
Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
You've been listening to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM at SFU in Burnaby. I want to thank you so much for spending this time with me today and for holding space for these stories, for this, these topics, these themes, and this history. Coming up next is Democracy Now! I am Nicole Hines. I want you to take care of yourself, take care of each other. And before I head out, I am going to play one last song from Sarah Harmer. This is Late Bloomer, again, off of the album Oh Little Fire.
Oh, Late Bloomer, the rumors were true. You know I checked your ID when you left the room. I didn't wanna see it coming. I showed off my heart. Now there's a scar in the shape of a question mark. Oh, Late Bloomer, the rumors were true. And scattered leaves are all that's left of you. I never thought was it?